Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Welcome to the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. I'm your host, John Lossoff. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Mark Hoffmeyer.
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets features the best decapitation of 2017.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't seen it yet, so it's worth watching.
I mean, it's like, Luc Besson, this was his dream project. It's basically what influenced Fifth Element. And these people were like, hey, here's $225 million. Go do whatever you want. And he's like, I am going to do whatever I want. And it's a movie where he is very pleased with himself.
Right.
But it's like fun. It's like the banter kind of hurts, but it's just a, like loud, fun, good set pieces. Like it's worth watching. It's just it's a pure, earnest, very expensive film where an alien fisherman who presumably is just looking for lunch gets his head blown off by a laser gun.
Like, it is the most abrupt head incineration that I can recall seeing in a long time.
This alien pulls up Dane DeHaan, and the alien goes, what? And then Dane just pulls out a gun and murders him.
Yeah. Mark and I, we were sitting in the theater together watching this, and he looks over at me, shocked. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he was just trying to get one of those rats that was eating these bugs. They were straight up rat fishing.
Aliens get murdered.
Wow. And the dude had his head blown off. Can you imagine, like, you're like the bridge going to, like, you know, St. Pete Beach or something, just like trying to catch a snook or a sheep's head or something. And then you reel up like a little person and they blow your head off.
Right. And it made it worse that the fisherman looked surprised. He pulled up Dane DeHaan and he wasn't like, ha ha, humans to eat. He went, huh?
If I pull up like an angry crab having a bad day with a laser gun, like, I really hope he doesn't blow my head off.
Yeah. You know, hey, I'm sorry I made you late for something, according to Mitch Hedberg. I
mean, that movie, though, was very good at being entertaining. It just wasn't good at being a good film.
Right. So what's the the obvious comparison is the Fifth Element. How do you think it compares?
It's like the YA edition of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's very fair. Yeah.
Wow. John Lovegood, was that really your favorite head decapitation scene of 2017?
I gotta tell you, you know, as far as decapitations go, you usually imagine that the head is removed and ends up somewhere else. You don't imagine the head to no longer be. Like, that was very strange to me.
It's like head exploder.
I know.
The best head explosion of
it is a decapitation. It's just that normally when I think of I think of it more as a, like, a head is removed when I think of that, even though that's not what the word necessarily means. So it's like, his head is gone. It's gone. It's like in, what was it? In Men in Black, when he shoots the guy in the head, and it was Tony Shalhoub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bunch of goo goes everywhere.
Yeah, it goes, it's like no more head. It was like that kind of decapitation.
But then it grows back. It's just like, quit doing that.
Fisherman did not have a head regrowth.
Was it Dawn of the Dead or Day of the Dead where you had that scene where the zombie gets decapitated by the helicopter?
That's
blade.
Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead. Yeah.
No, Dawn of the Dead.
That was Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, was it Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead.
It was one of the deads. But yeah,
I trust Mark.
That was so that decapitation scene always sticks out to me. I'm just like, whoa, that dude just lost his head to a helicopter.
Yeah, because he was just kind of tooly bopping around in the beginning, and then it like scalped him at first.
Yeah. Oh,
speaking of beheadings, anyone who is friends with me on Facebook might have seen that I had a Jason at Tampa Bay Comic Con threatening to take my head off. Oh, but before we took that photo, I said, oh, that was great. Well, you just did those. Can you do that for me? And he was silent. When people were talking to this Jason, he wouldn't say anything. He'd just like grunt and you know, make motions like he was in character.
And get ahead of you after letting you run for 50 yards.
When I went up to him and asked, like, oh, that's great, let's do the same thing, he just giggled and said, I don't think it'd be very credible, because like this was a big dude, but like I was much bigger than this big dude in the Jason outfit. So like I'm like leaning back to look shorter for my not very. And then he got me laughing. So I look like I'm just about to burst out into laughter in the picture. Tampa Bay Comic Con was fun.
Yeah. How was it? Did you see any cool stuff? Or
I did some great shopping, and there was this dude who had stained glass geek stuff. His outfit was called like Geek Orthodox.
Oh, clever.
They do stained glass stuff, and they had like a TARDIS, and I bought the Millennium Falcon one.
Oh, cool.
And did they have the alien fisherman from Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets?
Dude, he does commissions. You can give him a mock-up. We'll do it. The dude was at my house today.
I want to pay like $2,000 for that.
I'm just saying, like he will do whatever you want if you give him half the money up front for the estimate. He was having a beer in my living room with me today when he dropped it off. Like we were just chatting about this stuff.
I need a Wes Anderson one.
Where are you putting your stained glass window, Lemon Good?
Well, no, this is just like a little stained glass thing that you could like hang up.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like actual window.
I'm gonna hang this in my window. It's like 2 feet high and maybe 18 inches wide, and it has these two little chain hooks. So if you screw it into the ceiling or something, you could put it against a wall. But I don't know. He was a real nice guy. Like, he didn't ask me for anything. Obviously, I bought his thing, but like, really,
take it from him?
No, I bought it. I paid him, but I mean, he wasn't asking me for any plugs or anything. You know what I mean? But I thought it was awesome. Like, if you have like someone you want to get like a really special, really nice geeky gift for, I mean, these things aren't cheap, but they are nice.
I want him to do one. There's that Nicholas Sparks movie with Hannah Montana.
Well, Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Where they make stained glass.
So you want the movie poster of that movie in stained glass form?
No, I want the scene where they're making stained glass on stained glass.
Oh, okay. So for my stained glass, I want kind of like a triptych of Jack Burton, Snake Plissken, and maybe Captain Ron.
Holy Trinity.
Yeah. Yeah. Just put it up in the bathroom. So like every morning, like the sun just like shines at just the right angle.
Yes.
Rise and shine.
I want the one of snakes surfing in Escape from L.A.
Oh, man.
That sounds very doable right there.
Yeah. It was like, what? That would be like a couple hundred, maybe? I don't know.
Well, it depends on how big. Like, mine was like 500, but again, it's like 2.5 by 18 inches. It's big. Yeah. It probably took them 20 hours to make.
Sure.
If I'm going to spend $2,000 on a commission, I want it to be something that makes me laugh. So I'm going with Greg Kinnear making stained glass.
Oh. Greg Kinnear making stained glass.
In the movie One Hot Summer Crazy, The Choice, Notebook.
How about like Eddie Redmayne just sitting in the chair?
Eddie Redmayne actively getting kicked in the balls.
From Jupiter Ascending?
Yeah.
It's like, why that scene? And why that movie?
Why not?
I paid $2,000 for this. I'm not getting something practical.
I think that's what they call FU money.
I want a picture of Vin Diesel drinking a Corona.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That actually said, I mean, I really might ask this guy to do another for me in the future once I get my like living or my dining room more set up. But right now, I don't even know where I'm at.
I can't imagine hanging like an expensive stained glass piece like that. Like, you're not worried.
Trust me, it'll work.
Okay.
It'll work. Like, I have an idea of where I want to put it, but like if I was rich and I bought 10 of them, I wouldn't know where I'd put the others.
You got to put them on the first floor though, because if you walk around upstairs, it's going to rumble everything and it's going to fall.
No, I mean, this is dining room quality. Like, it's nice. I like it. I want to get another, but now that I know the commission stuff, either way, I like this guy, Geek Orthodox. I hope he keeps doing it. And he likes good beer. That's important.
Does he do bathroom tile?
Can you get the scene? Ooh.
Bathroom tile? Can you do bathroom tile? Get like a Sarlacc pit in my bathroom?
I don't think he does that. You could ask him. You could ask him.
And speaking of Sarlacc pits, We have a football draft podcast episode where John Laswa said he'd get the Sarlacc pit as a wide receiver, and Levengood just couldn't compute it.
Dude, that thing...
It's worth listening for his reaction to it.
It is bigger than the football. That was like 2 years ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was like episode, I want to say 7. Like that, we were single digits.
Yeah. But you were like, you can't do that.
Oh, I just did.
It was definitely not past episode 20. That was early in our podcast. We talked about the Sarlacc a lot, didn't we? Because in episode 4, we did Annabelle. We did the Sarlacc pit listener question.
Yeah, we got a lot of mileage out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, I love that Sarlacc. Wide receiver, that thing can't run. You just throw it at the Sarlacc, and the Sarlacc like starts and finishes on both sides of the field.
You know, I'm telling you this right now. If he does a Sarlacc pit bathroom, mm-hmm. Levin Good and I will pay for half of each for your bathroom as a bath.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'll get in touch with him. Actually, we'll probably plug him at the end of the show. Hey.
That's right.
Anyway, let's start the podcast like we usually do with listener questions. Let me good. I think you have questions this week.
I do. First question comes from the Nerdy Bitches podcast. By the way, I love their podcast. They're a very congenial pair. They ask, in honor of Shark Week, of all the shark species, which would you least like to encounter in the wild and why? And of course, in my head, it's like if I'm in a movie.
All right, so least, like, a shark we don't want to meet.
Of all the shark species, which would you least like to encounter in the wild and why?
What, great white would be kind of obvious, right? It's just like, you wouldn't want to run into that.
What about a gremlin shark? I was looking into him because of this question.
Those ugly little things?
Gremlin shark.
Wait, yeah. Gremlin or you mean goblin shark?
No, oh yeah, goblin shark.
Oh, okay.
Goblin.
Okay. Right.
Google goblin shark. It's
there's some gnarly looking little things.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to deal with a goblin shark.
You know, for me it would be Megalodon, because that movie Meg is coming out next year with Jason Statham.
When that movie's happening.
I think it's got like a 28. It's slated for a 2018 release.
Can you read that question again?
Okay, of all the shark species, which would you least like to encounter in the wild and why?
I mean, a megalodon would just kill me.
I mean, it's like a 50-foot shark.
And if I encountered a goblin shark in the wild, that means I'm really deep.
That's true. Like your body, you're like in the abyss getting crushed.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm with James Cameron in a submarine. Das Booten it. You know? That sounds horrible.
Right.
I don't want to be stuck in a submarine with James Cameron. Hear about Avatar all day. You know, gremlin, goblin sharks everywhere. Nah, I'm just going to go with a great white.
I mean, they're mean. But I mean, so Megalodon is bigger than the deep blue sea shark, which is bigger than the Jaws shark, which is bigger than a regular great white.
But you're just popcorn.
What's that?
You're just popcorn.
You're just popcorn.
Like, you're not going to feel it. You know what I mean?
If a goblin shark comes at you?
No, if a megalodon.
Oh, gotcha. I gotcha. Like, yeah, you're just going to disappear. Like, you get crushed in its esophagus in a second.
You're not coming out of that thing like Costner does in Waterworld.
What about that shark from Jurassic World?
Oh, goodness.
Wait, was that a shark or was that actually a reptile?
It was something. Like, it came out of water.
What was that, right? A shark? Zeuglodon or something.
It was big. It had teeth.
The nanny eater.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to run into that. Right.
So I think it was a Zeuglodon or a Basilosaurus. I'm online right now.
I mean, that thing would kill you pretty quick, too. But if a great white got you, it's going to wipe your surfboard out. It's probably going to take a chunk off your leg. It's going to swim around for a while. You're going to be freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Bite your arm.
What about card sharks? Like, I wouldn't want to run into John Malkovich from Rounders.
Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Actually.
What was his name? It was the Russian, right? From Rounders?
Yeah, yeah. And we all know how to beat him now, though.
Oh, yeah. It was the Oreos.
No one had ever figured that out. Seriously. What does my Oreo tell me?
And these poker people, you're like watching each other so closely all the time for all these little twitches and things you do with your hands, and no one caught that.
I'm all in.
I like how he gets pissed off when like he realizes like he's been found out. Like,
argh! I'm no longer playing the Bulker. I don't know what the accent was. I can't do it.
Yeah, I was Russian. It's just like, yeah, I wouldn't want to run the card sharks.
You cheated.
Yeah.
No, man. That's your tell.
You are a cheating cheater.
Like, no one catches like the really like big stuff.
Yeah.
So like when John, when I see you kind of like with your left eyebrow moves 6 times up and 2 times down, barely anybody could see it. I know you got a good hand. But when you're dancing, no one does anything.
Yeah.
You mean when I'm dancing?
No, when Lazavath. When Lazavath is doing the shuffle.
You don't want to see me when I'm bluffing.
Six times up and 2 times down, that's like the Contra code.
Yeah, exactly. Up, down, up, down, left, right, left, right. You know, Levengood, when you open up your turkey sandwich and you put it to your ear, no one notices.
No one is analyzing the method by which I put the turkey sandwich to my ear because they're like, what's this dude doing with the turkey sandwich?
Yeah, like, man, that John.
But I think he hears something.
I think he's trying to listen to his mustard.
Do you hear gobbling of ancestors?
So is that the final answer? Over enthusiastic card sharks will not want to run into him in the wild.
Yeah,
I can't tell what they're doing.
Mosasaurus is that sea monster in Jurassic World.
So it was based on a real creature.
Yeah,
I thought it was just like a made up kind of thing they did for Jurassic World.
Honestly, I thought it was the thing that got Liam Neeson to say there's always a bigger fish.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, when did you say that? Oh, is that from Star Wars?
Yeah, from Phantom Menace. Remember, because there was like the one thing that was chasing them, and it got eaten, and then that got eaten, and then that got eaten.
If there's always a bigger shark, that means when is it gonna stop?
Dude, I don't want to see what's gonna eat Meg.
Like our Earth is gone.
Oh yeah.
If there's always a bigger shark.
Space sharks.
Ooh, couldn't he say like occasionally there's a bigger shark?
Yeah, it's true. That's not really much Jedi wisdom. That's specifically unwisdom because it's not always a bigger fish.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Liam Neeson burned.
Wait, he just did.
I know.
Yeah.
Wait, do or do not. Oh, that's what do or do not yoga says.
That's an absolute.
No, not really.
If there is no try.
Oh, yeah.
That's an absolute.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, shit.
they're all evil. They just don't know it yet.
Sure. Anyway, what's our second question?
So this just blew my mind.
Yeah, that was a fun. Well, thanks from Nerdy Bitches. Second question comes from Neil of the Neil's Deal podcast, and he asks, how would you change Baby Driver if the driver was an actual baby?
It would actually just be Baby's Day Out.
Baby's Day Out, like
Joe Manganiello. A few guys are hunting them down. Some thieves are chasing down a baby who's running all over the city.
I almost picture it like Groundhog Day when he has the groundhog driving.
It would have to be a little car,
like a smart car.
No, I'm talking like a little baby I can drive it car.
Oh, I gotcha.
Is this baby coordinated?
Well, I mean, only the driver is a baby. So you still have like John Hamm and John Bernthal and all of them getting into the car. It's just that now an actual infant is their getaway driver.
Are we talking like, little man?
Maybe there's like a baby seat in the driver's seat.
That's my interpretation of it. Maybe that's I'm saying how I would change the movie. Mm-hmm. And so I guess you could change it any way you want.
No, you see, I wouldn't change anything.
Now there's an infant there.
I would just keep the same plot, keep the same characters, keep everything the same. The only difference is that the baby is now.
So like, Jamie Foxx is like, drive, drive, drive. And it just like craps himself.
Yeah. I just think there's something hilarious about that. They just treat this baby as like kind of like not a baby.
Right, they talk to the baby like the baby's a real person. The baby just sits there like a baby.
So the baby never drives. Like they're getaway. They rob a bank, get in the getaway car, and then just get arrested quickly because the baby doesn't drive.
When Bats like asks like, hey, baby, were you paying attention? Baby just like
hold on. I think that we kind of jumped the shark here, because like, how did they get to the crime scene? They're still arguing with Kevin Spacey in front of the chalkboard, saying like, "Come on, baby, let's go."
Yeah,
it's time to go do the job. Or even before that, like, is no one asking like, "How'd this baby get here? Whose baby is this?"
Like I said, I wouldn't change anything. Just keep it the same.
Baby here.
They never ever adjust the fact that it's a baby.
Who brought him? No one brought him here. Someone had to bring him here.
Mm-mm.
So you're saying no one brought him here.
It's like your baby driver. It was your turn to bring coffee. What's up? Just throws up on himself a little bit.
Yeah.
Like drooling.
Second best movie of 2017.
You know what would be fun? If you had the actual baby and you had it voiced by Bruce Willis, like, look who's talking.
Oh God. Can we do 80s Bruce Willis?
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be it. Yeah, because now he's a little too egoed out and stuff. And
yeah, I don't want modern day Willis.
Oh, I shouldn't slam Bruce. If you're listening, I'm sorry.
I want all dogs go to heaven, Bruce Willis.
Oh, wait. No, that was dude from Deliverance.
John Voight?
No. Other guy from. Why can't I think of his name? Striptease.
What? Bricktease?
He was in Striptease and Deliverance.
They said Bricktease. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds. That was who
Dead
was.
Dead baby?
All dogs go to heaven.
Well, what dog did Bruce Willis voice?
None of them. Did he voice one of those dogs?
Yeah. What about that song? Was like, why should I wear the song? The Billy Joel one.
Oh, that was Milo and Company.
That was Milo and Company. Wait, are you thinking Milo and Otis?
No. So Oliver and Company. It's Oliver and Company that you're thinking of.
Wasn't Bruce Willis a sassy dog in that one?
Maybe.
Or was it just Bruce Willis in the 80s?
I don't know. We're covering a lot of ground here.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
I don't know how I got into mentioning Striptease and Deliverance. I just couldn't think of Burt Reynolds' name because he did the lead in All Dogs Go to Heaven. That's where I was going, I think, with that. I don't know why I'm talking about Pretty Mouth movies in a baby question. Bing Rames puts the beetle in his yogurt because he wants to sue and get rich and not have to be a bouncer at a strip club anymore?
What? I haven't watched Striptease since 96.
Oh, it's such a great movie.
I just remember Burt Reynolds all Vaseline'd up.
Haven't you ever covered your entire body in Vaseline? Just walking here squishing in his cowboy boots.
So what's the final answer here, guys?
I don't want to go with that one.
Yeah.
Squishing around in the cowboy boots.
There we go. Yeah. All right. All right, thank you for those wonderful listener questions.
Well, that one, sorry, Laz, that one really got away from us.
They tend to do that. Yeah, so, all right, I think we have another one later on, but I think until then, let's move on to the main topic of the day. Mark, I'll let you handle it.
The 28th was the 18th birthday. July 28th was the 18th birthday of Deep Blue Sea.
Happy birthday!
Yay! I can't believe that movie's that old, because like, if I just threw that on now, it doesn't in any way feel dated to me.
No, you know, I watched it again recently, and aside from the shark effects, the CGI, the animatronic sharks were really great.
And they made a couple different shark props, didn't they?
Yeah, Mako's. And then they made like other ones too, like the kind of that got fed to the sharks. But they made the Mako shark 1 foot longer than Jaws.
And how big was Jaws? Like, was that
25 feet? So they made this one 26.
That's a big Mako shark. See, the real Mako shark is only like 12 feet, I think.
Yeah, like 10 to 12.
10 to 12. Okay. Yeah. It's like these are super big Mako sharks.
So I guess we're talking about this movie because in 1999, I was working in a movie theater pre Lazavath. You got there in what, 01?
Yeah, it was a couple years after you started, I think.
Yep. And in 1999, Deep Blue Sea came out. And I'm sure you've heard me talk about it before, but I'm going to keep talking about it. But the audiences went absolutely crazy for it. Like the first couple weeks, just listening to everybody just yell and have fun. And like people were just going, go LL, go. Like when Sam Jackson died, when Stellar Skateboard, according to How Did This Get Made, got killed, like audiences just went insane. And I've actually never witnessed audience reactions like that until I saw Wonder Woman a couple months ago. But I just love the movie. It was the first DVD I bought. I've watched it a lot. And like a lot of people say it's a bad film, but I have an absolute earnest love for it. Like this isn't me just like going, hey, Deep Blue Sea. I love this stupid movie. I think it's awesome. And I think it looks good. And I think it has the greatest kitchen fight of all time. That's another podcast. And I just wanted, like, I wrote a post the other day about how far the chart traveled with Stellan Skateboard, Stellan Skarsgård underwater. And I just wanted to like go through some reasons why it's amazing. We're not going to do all 18, but I just want to kind of, tell you about why it's the best movie. It's a Citizen Kane of genetically modified shark movies.
Of all the genetically engineered shark movies, this is the best one.
Now, this is going to sound crazy. I put this up on Reddit just to kind of talk about my love and ended up getting like 4,000 upvotes. And somebody made a great point, guys. The fur shark.
Yeah.
LL Cool J blows it up. The second shark, Saffron Burroughs, electrocutes it. The third shark, LL Cool J, blows it up. Jaws 1, shark blows up. Jaws 2, shark gets electrocuted. Jaws 3, shark blows up.
Oh, like in order.
Yep.
Oh, that's okay. Do you think that was deliberate by the filmmakers?
I hope not. I hope it was an accident.
That's interesting.
But it's too much of a coincidence to discredit.
Right, right. No, I agree. Like, I wouldn't just outright say, oh, no, it's just a change. But it's like it also seems a little out there for that to have been that, like, intricately on purpose. I don't know. But I guess it's not a far cry, is it? Like that's a legit theory. Yeah, that's got me thinking.
When someone wrote that, like my brain almost melted. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the first.
Okay.
Second. And as you all know, Roger Ebert is my hero. Roger Ebert loved Deep Blue Sea. He said that it was just full of surprises. And in a genre where a lot of movies are retreads of the predictable, Deep Blue Sea keeps you guessing.
So I read the whole excerpt, and I love how it acknowledged how when Samuel L. Jackson does die, it's like it's this really abrupt thing, right? When that shark comes out and gets him, like they don't linger on it. They don't try and bask in the moment. They let it be abrupt, and that just actually made it more shocking.
Mm-hmm. And like, did anybody, like, I didn't see, nobody saw it. The audiences, when that happened, everybody just went, oh my gosh! Like, what movies have really surprised you like that in the last 18 years? And I'm sure there have been some.
Yeah, not a lot. Not
like,
a lot.
When was the last time you were just like, holy crap?
Not a movie, but TV show. Obviously, oh, yeah. Game of Thrones and all that.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
I mean, it came out before Deep Blue Sea, but Executive Decision.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Seagal. Steven
Seagal. Rain of Fire, I guess, when yeah. What happens to Mick C.
Oh,
yeah.
McNugget.
Brad Pitt, Burn After Reading.
Oh, yeah.
That was so funny. Like, he was just like, oh, hey, just like, boom.
Yeah. I guess we could count on our hand, but like, I don't know, I loved it. And you know what's crazy? Is in The Long Kiss Goodnight, he tried to kill off Samuel L. Jackson, Rennie Harlan, the director of Deep Blue Sea. And so they made Long Kiss Goodnight, and I guess he died in the film. And a lot of people were like, you can't kill Sam Jackson. So they had to, like, bring him back. So Deep Blue Sea, he goes up to Sam Jackson. He's like, I'm going to kill you in this movie. And Sam's like, heck yeah. And so because they said you couldn't kill Sam Jackson, he killed Sam Jackson.
And that was after, like, the best speech. Like, he was, that was like in Rocky Balboa, right before he starts training, and that his old trainer is talking him up. Like, that was a pretty serious speech.
And you know what I love about his speech, and I think we've talked about it before, like with when saving the day goes wrong, he totally started monologuing and he completely forgot that he was standing next to open water.
That's what he gets.
It's like there's a volcano going off and I try to rally everybody right next to the lip of it. Or like there's an anaconda loose and I'm like talking to John Voight for an hour. Yeah, like I don't know. He got so motivated to save everyone, he got like too full of himself and died.
Yeah, but hey, I'd like to think that it was because of that speech that everyone else had the guts to face those sharks.
Do you think so?
I don't know. I mean, it was a pretty good speech.
Do you think they remembered the speech?
Like, there was such a shocking death that it just wiped. Like, they're like, what was he talking about again? I don't know, man. Did you see how he died?
Yeah. Wait, what did he say?
Something about being an appetizer. I don't know. Sure.
And speaking of something else, Stephen King loves it.
I do like when Stephen King gives his inklings about non-horror movies.
Yeah, it was the first movie he watched after he almost died, so he went to the movie theater wheelchair, and he said he loved every minute of it.
I loved every minute of it.
I mean, just because he loves it doesn't mean it's good, but I just love that Stephen King loved it.
It's cool watching it now, too, because Thomas Jane is so well-known now. But, like, back then, you were like, who's this dude?
Yeah. And apparently, and now that I've watched it again, he falls down all over the place in this movie.
Thomas Jane does?
Well, there's a YouTube clip with him just sliding everywhere. It's like, holy crap. He's like, I'm like, where are you going, man? I wonder if it was a conscious choice or it was actually really slippery.
But and yet when he was in the water in like that opening scene when we first meet the shark, he is just floating around the water and navigates around the shark like to then like kind of coasting ride it to remove something from its mouth. Like he was like all graceful in the water.
Yeah.
Then he's walking around the rest of the movie.
How when all the lights went out, how did he get the 26-foot Mako to the research area?
It was a good speech, Mark.
Oh yeah.
Wait, no. He talked to the shark?
He was shark whispering.
Interesting.
It was like butterfly kisses. Right. I don't know.
And last but not least, guys, Deep Blue Sea inspired pretty much every film since its release. So Crash.
The Notebook.
Crash. Major influence.
Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter E to Mama Tambien.
Olympus Has Fallen.
Entourage the Movie.
Children of Men.
Yes.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, kind of.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yep. End of Watch.
Every Mandy Moore movie.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it.
Magic Mike.
This is my theory, guys. Every director on this planet, when they make a movie, what's in the back of their head is, will this be as good as Deep Blue Sea? So you don't have to like mimic genetically modified sharks hurting humans to their death. You just have to go, is this movie as good as Deep Blue Sea? And I feel like Nolan, Malick, all the great directors, Kathryn Bigelow, Patty Jenkins said every night she would watch Deep Blue Sea before she went to film Wonder Woman the next day.
I wonder if actors use it as a mantra too. Like, do you think before all his Bane scenes that Tom Hardy was saying like, you ate my bird. Take this, Batman. You ate my bird. Perfect omelet. Two eggs, not three.
Here's urinating in the wind.
Batman has to be careful with his cape up on those windy building tops.
Remember, is the true villain of the film.
Was it in our podcast, or was it just you and I just chatting one day?
We were
going on about the cheddar biscuit.
Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Was that in a podcast? I hope that's in a podcast somewhere. But that might have just been us joking around with each other.
Evil always pays.
Oh, Batman. You're cheap.
Lazavat.
All right. I think it's time to take a break, actually. All right, guys.
What's with all the windows?
When I say pod, you say
pie.
Wait a minute.
Whoa. What's
Robert,
going on, Kyle?
Take your headphones off real quick.
Okay, sorry.
John, what the hell is this?
I don't know. Robert invited me over.
And yeah, I don't know. This is kind of awkward. Are we doing like a promo or something?
I don't know. I wish he'd put on his pants, though.
Yeah, he's like dancing around. He's talking about Shark Dropper.
I think he's looking for the baby oil.
Anyways, Robert, what are we doing? Huh? What are we doing?
What was that?
What are we doing?
I can put my headphones back on?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a promo for Shark Dropper.
Oh, okay.
That podcast we do that has improv, and we just talk about our daily lives and stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I still wish you'd find your pants.
Where can I find it?
Oh, wait. Are we supposed to wear sharkdropper.com?
Short shot time.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. We all went to Red Lobster to get some Cheddar Bay biscuits. These two got us kicked out.
Hey, we didn't have to pay.
Yeah.
John just kept going, guys, please don't do your Batman Bane impersonations. Please don't. And then I went, what impersonations?
I was really looking forward to the shrimp scampi, but no.
I waited until you finished.
Like, I'm tempted to jump in, but I know we're gonna take it too far.
The only time I can do an Eddie Redmayne from Jupiter Ascending impersonation is when I try a Bane impersonation.
Pretty much. I mean, when you try almost any other impersonation, you end up in like Michael Caine territory, and then when you try and do Michael Caine, you sound like Sean Connery.
She was only 15.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You are only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
She was only 15.
Let's just answer another listener question.
Let's answer another bloody listener question.
This is a first time listener question contributor. It's Marvel Zombie Dude from Twitter asks, why don't the gremlins multiply when they're drinking alcohol?
Wait, Marvel Zombie Dude? We worked with him for years and years.
You mean Arthur Sudium?
Yeah.
Who I saw, by the way, at Tampa Bay Comic Con.
Is this Arthur?
I don't think so. This is like at Marvel Zombie and K. And I don't think it is. I mean, this is just someone who randomly jumped in when I asked for listener questions on Twitter.
Gotcha.
We can look into it later. I feel like he would have said something when I saw him at the convention.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, probably. But I should have asked him for a listener question.
Look up Arthur Soydum's zombie comic book art.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. That dude puts out some serious work. And he was always good to our volunteers.
That's right. Good man.
Yep. Wonderful guy, Arthur Sudium. Okay, well, this is Marvel Zombie Dude, who is probably not Arthur Sudium. And he asks, why don't gremlins multiply when drinking alcohol?
They don't want to share.
What's
That's
up?
True.
Like, all right, John, you just came over, right? Loving good. And we had a bunch of good beer, right?
Oh, yeah.
But so I'm happy giving it to – but when I have beer when I have beer in me, I don't want little gremlins popping out stealing it. When I drink, it stays right here. I ain't spawning any more Swedish guys.
Wait, but so you're saying it's a choice?
Yeah, they're like, I don't want to wreck my buzz. You're basically just spitting out other little drunk creatures.
I mean, yeah, they're going to have that BAC.
I mean, gremlins, they're like, listen, it's bad enough with water. You don't want little drunk, newly born gremlins running around.
Right.
So it's mercy, but it's also like, you know, I paid money for this beer. I'm not going to spit it out of me. Right?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, what is your take on gremlin multiplication through alcohol?
I think they're a lot like us. I think they get whiskey dick too.
<You know>?
I think they try, but
that's
just
why their backs don't bubble and form a bunch of little like frog egg gremlins.
Yeah, it's just not happening, guys. Sorry, it happens to everybody, mostly everybody, sometimes.
The gremlins, they just can't do it.
No, not while they're drinking.
You know what's funny is that like I started thinking of this the wrong way, because for some reason in my head it was like, no, because it's not water. There's water and stuff, but it's not water. But then I realized, no, wait, in Gremlins they just say don't get them wet, so it doesn't matter. But then it's like, remember how they formed, like they had these little bubbles form on their back?
Yeah.
Well, that's if you get yourself wet, right? Like sometimes things have different effects if they are ingested rather than topically applied. So maybe if one of them like did a keg stand and then accidentally like spat some all over themselves, they'd multiply. But if they drink it, it doesn't do it.
Gremlins do nothing with moderation.
No.
Alcohol is flying everywhere.
Alcohol is flying. They're just binge eating Big Macs. They watch Stranger Things in one day.
Yep.
They just cannot. They cannot.
That is coming up.
Yeah. Like, do you watch Gremlins? Like, they do nothing carefully. Like, when they eat popcorn in the movie theater, popcorn's flying everywhere.
Sure.
They're not Vin Diesel and Corona.
Yeah, they're just shaking the shit out of all of
them. Yeah, they're basically like, yeah, they're doing shit. Like, no one wants to share. I'm telling you.
Mm-mm.
Like, water, I can go get some more.
Yeah.
Tap. Free. Good whiskey? You ain't taking away from me, little Swedish gremlin balls.
Oh, man.
Wreck my buzz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, tailgating would be a pain in the ass.
I mean, if they were drinking milk, would they produce a bunch of little gremlins that have gas and fart?
Oh Lord.
Wait, what? Oh, because they came from all the bubbles?
Yeah, I don't know, like from like the high dairy bubbles, like
wait, who are we talking about?
If they drank a whole lot of milk.
Ooh. Just really strong gremlins.
If you like poured milk all over a gremlin.
What about pure Bulgarian miak?
Then you get a bunch of stinky gremlins. Because miak has to smell bad.
Yeah.
Did it smell bad in the movie?
You are what you eat, huh?
Did he smell the miak in the movie?
No, because it basically he showed the troll miak, and then the troll was, I got pure Bulgarian miak.
Bet you thought I couldn't find it.
I'm a little too hot on my feet. And then the troll goes, miak? Like a question. And then Ernest has to look at the label, and then he goes, yeah, miak. You know, that movie was playing at like 2 a.m. on HBO the other night, and like I think HBO is getting smart. They're playing it as like a drunk horror film for people who get home late.
That's an interesting marketing niche.
Like 2:40 a.m. from a night out at partying, I come home and Ernest Scared Stupid's on. I'm gonna watch it.
you wake up with like a half-eaten slice of pizza and like a half-empty beer in your hand, and the TV's still on.
Yep. That's right.
Is that the final answer?
Yep.
Half-eaten pizza with the TV still on.
Yeah. Sounds about right. All right. Thank you, Marvel zombie dude, who may or may not be Mark and John's friend.
And thank you for not answering the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Hey guys, why don't gremlins change when they drink beer? Because this is what I think.
Okay.
20 minutes later.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dylan will never be forgotten.
No. All right. It's time to move on to our second topic of the day. Mark, I'll let you have it again.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, good movie. The end.
Not enough dancing. Not enough dancing.
Right.
Just enough Keaton.
Yeah.
Some good teenage angst.
I like
some Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
Some unhappy Jon Favreau.
Was he happy?
Yeah. Happy was unhappy. He was always stressed.
Yeah.
They're making like Peter Parker's aunt younger and more attractive in each movie.
I am so tired of, you know, the only way I ever want to see Uncle Ben again is if Sean Bean plays him.
It's like, leave Uncle Ben alone. He keeps getting shot. Yeah.
Sean Bean is the only guy I want to see play Uncle Ben. Or Mr. Wayne, whatever Bruce Wayne's dad was.
Sure.
So I just want to see, you know, it's funny watching Sean Bean get wiped out.
But you're just more shocked if he doesn't.
Yeah, and if he does play Uncle Ben, he'll get hit by a car, hit by another car, attached to a parasail, attacked by a great white shark, and then hit by a freighter.
You know, what's funny is, like, okay, so Uncle Ben was not in Spider-Man Homecoming, thankfully.
Thank goodness.
But it seems like they kind of replaced the Uncle Ben kind of father figure with Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark.
Yeah.
It seems like. Right?
A nice absentee parent.
It's like absentee kind of quote-unquote father. He was just kind of there to just kind of guide him, sort of, and only showed up like in really dire moments. It was just like, it was very clearly a father figure for Peter Parker.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But I felt bad for Peter because he goes to fight in Germany, right?
Yeah.
Massive brawl.
Uh-huh.
And then he comes back and then Tony's like, you're on call.
Oh,
and he just doesn't do anything. That's cruel for a high schooler.
It's like when you apply to a job and you just like, you make like that first phone call after the application. It's like, yeah, he looks good. We'll get in touch with you. And then you just wait and you wait and you wait. And you're just like, no,
exactly.
I had a really good feeling about the interview. I'm like, and you wait, you wait, you wait. And it's just like, they never call. So,
never call.
Sure.
And then they do call and they're like, we've been watching you the whole time.
Oh, man. Although, to be fair, it is the Avengers, so you would be waiting too. Like, oh, I hope I'm part of the Avengers.
Are there other superheroes that are on the waiting list?
I would really want to be, because they are almost always facing something where half of them could not survive.
Yeah, but I think they get like.
Do you want to be on that short list?
I think they get like merchandising money. So it's like.
Merchandising.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man Homecoming. Really good film. I guess the plot is Spider-Man's waiting for a call from Robert Downey Jr. Michael Keaton was actually like a wrecker guy. He just got rid of a lot of junk, right? He was a salvage, or he was.
He was a salvage guy. He was him and his crew were in charge of cleaning up the wreck from the first Avengers movie, where like the aliens invaded. They were the ones that were just like cleaning up everything, and I guess like the city came down, and I'm like, no, actually, we're gonna go with these guys, and you know, Michael Keaton was like, well, screw you, and just to kind of. Give like the man the finger. He just kind of kept collecting the alien technology that was recovered from the was it the Chitauri?
Yep, the Chitauri.
Ugh.
Yeah, and then you know what I like most about this Michael Keaton character? I mean, there's a couple things I really like, but I like that he knew how to stay under the radar because he's like, if Iron Man hears about this, I'm screwed.
Yeah, because if you think if you kind of think about it, like timeline wise, like. So, like, the beginning of the movie has that little thing where it establishes Michael Keaton, and it was, like, what, almost a decade? Where he's just, like...
8 years later, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, so 8 years where he's just kind of flying under the radar, just kind of, like, recovering this alien technology and using it to make, like, really cool, like, alien kind of gadgets, like his flying outfit and, like, the guns. And it's just, like, it's kind of weird. Like, these guys are, like, wrecking guys, salvage guys, but they're also, like... genius level engineers, like they're able to kind of just refashion the alien technology to like their own purposes. Like it's kind of weird. I don't know, maybe I'm just being like maybe I'm just generalizing too much.
I guess they did have 8 years.
That's true.
Maybe they got enough and then they were running out and then they like desperation tried to figure something out.
It was I think like a couple people in the crew got cocky, remember? Were like they were
Logan
like
Marshall Green.
Yeah, they were like selling the guns. They were just shooting in the air, just attracting the wrong kind of attention. You know,
that's a horrible idea, by the way. 8 years under the radar, then you go under a bridge and make mass explosions.
Yeah, this is like, oh yeah, I'm sure.
No, hold on. Now, I didn't see the movie, right? So they waited 8 years. So the whole like,
oh no, they were selling them the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But the Marvel Universe timeline has jumped forward multiple years then.
Yeah, since Avengers, it's 8 years later.
So does that mean that I'm supposed, like, are they going to put, like, Jeremy Renner in, like, old man makeup when we see him again?
No. The beginning of the movie takes place immediately after the first Avengers.
Oh, the first Avengers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, then, so it's an appropriate period of time.
And then
it's
it like jumps
2012 or 2013 or something.
I got you. But they're kicking it. It's not really as big of a jump in time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the movie takes place in what, present day MCU? I guess that's the right way to say it. I don't know. But yeah, so like Michael Keaton, the Vulture, and his crew just been operating under the radar until, like, you know, a couple people get cocky, attracts wrong kind of attention. That's when Peter Parker steps in and all that.
Yep. And then, I don't know, but it's fun, though. Like, he makes mistakes, Spider-Man does in this.
He's a kid. That's what I love him most. Yeah,
he seems young. Like, he's not like an old man dancing around with, like, weird bangs.
No, I mean, I love Tobey Maguire, but, like, he just seemed... You did not believe he was a high school student, at least in the first movie.
I still feel like Spider-Man 2 is my favorite.
It is. It's mine too.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but that's still my number one, followed by Homecoming.
Yeah.
So it goes like this. Spider-Man 2, Homecoming, Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 3, and then those other two.
Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the first Amazing Spider-Man. It wasn't that bad.
Who's the villain?
I did rather enjoy the first Amazing Spider-Man.
It was the Lizard, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. Reese Ephens.
Yeah, yeah.
And they cut, like, all of his scenes.
I don't know, like... So, like, what I really love about this movie is just, like... You know, like I mentioned earlier, like, Peter Parker is very clearly, like, a high school kid. He's got that awkwardness about him that you only ever see in teenagers. Like, actual teenagers. He's a... You know, he's just, like, clumsy. He's just, like, doesn't really take anything too seriously. And it was just, like, you never got the impression that he was just, like, totally mature for his age. He was just, like, he acted very appropriately.
Yeah, he was his age.
Yeah, it was. He was a high school student, and he had that awesome friend. I forgot what his name was.
Oh, man. I got on IMDb here. He wasn't from Dawson's Creek, which I kind of liked.
Yeah.
Were a bunch of other people from Dawson's Creek?
No, I'm just saying, like he wasn't spouting dialogue like the kids from Dawson's Creek were.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Kid.
Like, it was just like...
He wanted to play with Legos.
Like, this was such a lighthearted movie. Like, it was just like, it was funny as much as it was like, you know, an action superhero movie. And I loved it. Like, it just never took itself too seriously. It was awesome.
Like even when it gets kind of low, like, I don't know. I don't know. It's good. It's good height. Like, I wish I had this Spider-Man movie, I guess, growing up. It's like a high schooler.
Yeah, because I feel like, I don't know. Like, it seems like high schoolers today, like, can really identify or at least relate with the Peter Parker, with Tom Holland's Peter Parker.
What did you think about him? Because I don't care one way or the other, but some people are mad that he didn't shoot webs from his wrists and he had to make the stuff.
It was never like a big issue to me. You know, it was just like, it doesn't really make or break the character. Because I remember, like, what, Sam Raimi, it was like organic. Like, they actually shot out of his wrist.
Right? Dude, he was shooting out like 500 pounds of web a day. That didn't even make sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think what, James Cameron, when he was, when he wrote his draft for Spider-Man way back in the day, he also had the shooters, like, they were also organic as well. So it's not like, a make or break thing to me. I guess it makes more sense that they're organic, but it fits the character that, you know, that he would come up with a device that shoots out webs. I think that's how it is in the comics. Like, it's a device, not organic. So,
well, it depends on the storyline. There's so many. Even back in the 90s, there were like 5 Spider-Man comic series.
Oh yeah,
because there was Amazing, Spectacular, Regular Spider-Man. Like, you know, it just depended on which of those you were looking at.
And like the villains also got their own comic series, like Venom and Carnage. And I'm just like, oh my lord.
Like, I don't want to, like, I know we don't have too much time to talk about things, but there's 4 things I want to cover, Laz.
Please.
Where Hannibal Buress, he's the coach.
Oh,
and
yes.
So throughout the movie, they show these, like, Captain America does a bunch of PSAs for high school kids, like, for fitness challenges.
Yeah.
And coach Hannibal Buress is like, I'm pretty sure he's a war criminal now, but, you know, whatever.
State says I got to show these.
I love that scene. And then there's a scene where Kenneth Choi, who... was one of the Howling Commandos. He is he's the principal of Peter Parker's school. And on his desk, there's like on to the right of his desk, there's a cabinet, and on that cabinet you see a picture of his great great grandfather who was a Howling Commando.
Oh wow.
So it's the same actor, but then his grandfather was like a perfect twin of his who was a Howling Commando. Did you pick that up?
No, I didn't see that at all, actually. That's amazing.
And then another weird thing is, so John, there's this field trip that goes awry, and you know, some kids almost die at the
Washington Monument.
Washington Monument.
Yeah.
And the teacher is being interviewed later. He's like, yeah, I didn't want to have to deal with another one of my kids, you know, dying again. So this poor teacher. And then I guess last but not least, I love Donald Glover in it.
Yeah.
Like he was like some low level thug. But so Levengood.
He was a thug?
Yeah. He like calls Spider-Man out for like his horrible interrogation techniques. And Spider-Man, to be kind of a brat, sticks his hand to his trunk. And Spider-Man's like, that's going to dissolve in a couple hours. And Donald Glover's like, man, I got ice cream in here. So when they first, like, Donald Glover's trying to buy some of this tech. And that's when they first kind of discover it. And that's when he starts getting onto the Vulture. And Donald Glover's like, man, I just want to rough somebody up. I don't want to do this. So the scene goes by. There's an action scene. But later on, Spider-Man hunts him down. And that's where he, you know, wastes his ice cream.
There's ice cream in here.
He was pissed. He had like a half, like his right eye was kind of like half cocked. It was like, it was funny. But like, yeah, this is a weird, charming little movie.
I think like another favorite scene of mine is like, I just can't remember his name. Peter's friend, whatever.
Ned.
Ned.
Yeah, Ned.
Who's actually played by like a 21-year-old.
I think like earlier in the movie, he was just like, "Go, can I be like your assistant, like the guy who like has monitors all around him, just like telling you where to go?" He was just like, and Peter's like, "Oh, just brushes off, like, oh, just you're being silly." Like later on in the movie, like that's exactly what happens. Like Ned is surrounded by computer monitors, and he's telling Peter where to go. It's like, I'm the monitor guy.
I don't understand that when he got caught, because he was at a dance and Peter had to go save the day. Uh-huh. So he's on these computers during a dance, and this principal's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm watching porn.
That was just comedic.
Yeah. So yeah, that was like his way to get out of it, was saying he watched porn.
What did you think about the I guess it's like the best scene in the movie where like Peter and his prom date and Michael Keaton are sitting in the car. I guess like the Vulture is driving them to dropping off at prom, and like throughout
is he taking Michael Keaton's daughter to prom or something?
Yeah, he doesn't know it.
Yeah. But then like throughout the course of the drive there, like it slowly dawns on both of them like who they are, and it's just like it's like such an intense scene. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, and Keaton turned it on, and I like that he said to him, like, you know, you saved my daughter, so I'm not going to kill you or hurt. You know, I like that about this villain.
Mm-hmm. He's principled.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he would have killed Peter, do you?
Not in that instance, you know, but it was just like, well, I think he was just, like, very close to doing it. It was just like, man, he was just so menacing in that scene. It was crazy.
He did full creep Keaton.
I think the Vulture is the second best Marvel villain in like as far as like the movies go.
Wow. Out of the 16?
Yeah. Nice. So Loki is like number one just because he's awesome.
Is it me or has like Keaton been crushing it for 5 straight years?
And you know what's a bit interesting about Keaton?
Yeah.
Between Batman, Birdman, Vulture, and Porco Rosso, where he plays a pig who flies an airplane.
Yeah.
Dude loves being in the air.
That is a weird little corollary.
Yeah.
But like he's been like quite like, and he also did The Founder recently. He was in that movie, what, Spotlight or whatever?
Oh, yeah, Spotlight.
He was also Captain Gene and the other guys.
Oh yeah, Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah.
He's straight up crushing. I mean, he's always been a good actor, right? But like these last 5 years, he's been out the F standing. Like,
I think he's starting to like occupy like these kind of niche roles, kind of like how Bill Murray did for like the entire second half of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michael Keaton's kind of entering that same territory. not exactly the same, obviously, but it's just like, they're very just kind of weird roles that were just kind of made for him, it seems like.
I never saw that menace coming from him.
Yeah, it's just like, I think that's what makes it so menacing. It's just something you're not expecting.
Yeah, Mr. Dad is Mr. Yeah. Nanny. No, is that that's a Hulk Hogan movie? Yeah. My dad. What's the Michael Keaton one where he's a dad, and he's like being a dad's hard.
Mr. Mom.
Gotcha.
Is that it?
I'm a stay at home dad. It's horrible. No, but I really enjoyed this movie.
It's lighthearted. I don't know where I'd rank it because like it was a great movie, but it just didn't really like it doesn't feel like substantial for some reason. You know?
Yeah,
I think of like the first Iron Man movie. I think of what?
Thor 2.
Yeah, Thor 2. No, Winter Soldier. Civil War. Maybe like the first Avengers. But like for this one, it was just like it was kind of like a candy bar. Like it tasted great, but then you're hungry again now. You know,
it's kind of weird. Like, I think I could watch Ant-Man and Doctor Strange whenever they're on TV.
Yeah.
I wonder if this could fall in that category, like a good HBO Marvel film.
I think this was made it's perfect for TV. Like, it's just like there's like a lot of set pieces, like, you know, very clear set pieces, like in the short and roles. But like in between, you have like these really kind of funny jokes and funny scenes. Like, it's just like it flows really well for TV, it seems like.
And guess how many people die in it?
Like zero.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with zero. I can't think of anybody that died.
Only one.
Who?
And that was by accident.
Was it Uncle Ben?
No, Michael Keaton. Like this one guy was getting like too big for his britches, and he's like,
"Oh yeah,
I'm gonna throw the guns to whoever I want." And so Michael Keaton thought he was shooting him with like a paralyzed ray to like knock him out for 20 minutes. But he shot him and he turned him into a bunch of goo.
Oops.
Wait, so in this movie, you know how like in these Avengers movies and a lot of superhero movies, you see all these buildings like going down, and you know that thousands of people are dying.
Yeah.
Even though we don't see any of it. So there wasn't like that. Like it was more property destruction responsible.
It was like more of a contained type of movie. It, like the world's not on the line, like the
they level a whole metropolis.
No,
during their fight,
like some roofs got messed up.
Yeah, like they really focused on the neighborhood part of the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. You know,
okay.
It was just like
Michael Keaton was just the baddest guy in that neighborhood.
Yeah, actually, he was.
Yeah,
actually,
he was.
So it was like kind of a lower level version of like a Marvel movie, and I don't mean that in a bad way, right?
Nah, it was a blast.
Well, and because it's our new Spider-Man, whatever jumpstart. Not quite, or it's not quite an origin, right? Or did they do that?
No, the origin wasn't in it. He was okay. Spider-Man.
So this is still our starter Spider-Man solo. So like, it's nice to get a small scale sometimes. I like that here and that.
Yeah, no Chitauri.
No, ugh. No.
Oh God, these Avengers bad guys are breaking my heart.
Get out of here, Chitauri.
He's like space elves and these frost giants or whatever.
I need something to make me invisible. I got it.
And then there are these like insect things and Man of Steel going on. What are they fighting in Justice League? Something dumb.
Yeah, CGI blob. Yeah.
More little winged critters.
That'd be funny if they actually had to fight CGI blobs. Like it's superheroes trying to prevent that ending.
Which is exactly what they actually did in Suicide Squad.
They fought a blob.
They actually fought blobs. People were turned into like blobs.
Oh yeah, they were blobs.
Yeah, like those actual blobs of CGI. It's no longer just
fighting blobs, people.
Please.
Only blob that should be fought is the blob, and more specifically in the 1988 blob.
Not in X-Men Origins, played by Kevin Durand.
Ugh. They didn't really do much honor to that character.
Good actor.
I like the actor, yeah.
All right. So I guess the consensus is go watch Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
No, it's a good...
I guess I will.
I think it's like still at 90-something percent of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it earns it. Like, I think it's gotten like all B pluses.
Sure. It's yeah, it just doesn't stick with you for some reason. Doesn't feel substantial.
It only sticks like his web slinger. You know, your ice cream won't melt.
Sure. All right. Before we sign off, are there any plugs you want to make, guys?
Yeah. Lazavath, you got a new podcast called Spinning in Circles.
Yeah.
And like, it's just you spinning circles clockwise, counterclockwise, different elevations.
Different elevations.
You know what's funny is that I forgot it's an audio podcast.
Your last one in Mexico City was amazing.
Yeah, I forgot it's an audio podcast, so people can't really tell that I'm spinning.
Just a lot of wind. You hear wind.
Yeah.
And then you hear him falling and laying there for a few minutes. Then he gets up a couple times, falls, and then he talks about it. And you only talk about it for about 3 minutes.
I don't know how much longer I'm going to do it.
It's really expensive and it hurts your body.
I'm just getting like vertigo now.
Didn't you roll down an entire hill in Argentina?
Yeah, I lost that episode though. The recorder got smashed.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It basically just heard, and then cut. Ooh, I like that you still released it though.
Yeah. No one knew what was going on.
All right, Levin, good. Good run of solicited independent film reviews lately, and that was kind of a nice windfall. I guess we've started to get some attention without realizing it from certain people. Because I got this movie Burn from Slaughtered Bird and Dragon Egg Media. I got We Love Selfies from My Little Rascal Productions. This movie, The Barn, the guy doesn't want to be named who passed it to me, but I'm going to be reviewing that soon. That's a feature length doing the circuit now. And Fox Home Entertainment had sent me a Belco Experiment stationery and a Blu-ray for me, like, in hopes that I'd review it. So I got a free movie out of it.
Wait, Belco's already out in Blu-ray?
Yeah, they did it in time for the Blu-ray release. They sent it to me, yeah. Huh. And so, you know, it's like we're getting some nice attention. I think that in the next month we're probably going to have some interesting news about Mark.
Yeah, well.
But I don't know.
We said that 6 weeks ago, so it's.
But I mean, it's been retail. Like, we're going to keep it mysterious, but like there's been continued correspondence that there Mark might have some big news to share with all you listeners in an upcoming podcast about the work he's been doing. So, and you know, I'm grateful to Geek Orthodox for my stained glass Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Geek Orthodox, they're based in Tampa, I'm assuming?
No, they're in Asheville.
Oh, Asheville. Wow.
Yeah, Asheville. Yeah, they're Asheville, North Carolina, but they came down for this. And they were evidently at MegaCon in Orlando as well.
All right.
Good folks. But a lot of those vendors, you know, they're seldom local. They're usually traveling all over.
Yeah. All right.
But, yeah.
Awesome.
And thanks to you, John. You do our editing. We really appreciate that.
If you live in the Tampa area, St. Pete area, Sarasota area, go see one of Lazavath's shows.
Buy him a beer.
Please.
Buy him a beer. Go when's your next show, Laz?
I'm on the one of the improv house teams at American Stage in downtown St. Pete. I guess we'll be performing the second Sundays of every month at American Stage in downtown St. Pete. And first show is September 10th. So
I wonder if we can put a calendar on our page with your performances.
It's second Sunday every month.
Second Sunday every month.
Yeah.
Go see Lazavath.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, in other news, we've been talking to our unofficial Movies, Films, and Flicks business manager, your wife, Megan. If any people would actually be interested in Movies, Films, and Flicks shirts, let us know on Twitter or Facebook or something.
And is there a favorite episode of ours with, like, random quotes that you might like? Let us know. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, because, again, people are starting to reach out, starting to get some new first-timers for listener questions, and we're starting to get some attention. I don't know, our little podcast and our little website, we're starting to get some attention. We're not so little anymore.
That's right.
You know, like, yeah.
I'm going to have a gold-plated mic stand soon.
What's that?
For the podcast, gold-plated mic stand.
Really good acoustics.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's time. for my co-host, Mark Hotmar.
Thank you for everything, everybody. Thank you for listening.
John Lindenberg.
In Geek We Trust.
I've been your host, John Lindenberg. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you again.
T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.